You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The Lutheran Hour presents a message by Pastor Ken Klaus titled, I Don't Wanna, Do I Have to? Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Truly, God has given us all we need to support our bodies and lives. For those graces alone, we should be unendingly grateful. But our Heavenly Father has done that and much more. These words of resurrection victory tell us that God has, through His Son's life, death, and resurrection, given believers life and life eternal. For this, He is truly worthy of worship. The family had birthday traditions. Two of those traditions were the birthday boy or girl got to pick the main course for the meal, and he or she got to say the prayer. Just turning 6 years, Rosalind had selected turkey for dinner, and now she began to pray. She thanked Mother for preparing the turkey, and Dad for his job that gave the money to buy the turkey. The family sat patiently as she thanked the clerk for selling the turkey and the store for stocking the turkey. She thanked the trucker that had brought her turkey to the store. She thanked the farmer that had raised the bird as well as the feed store that had provided the Tom with victuals. Then, at the end of the lengthy litany, she solemnly asked, "Have I forgotten anyone?" Her 2.5-year-old brother, impatient with the delay to the meal, grunted out, "God." With icy disregard, the birthday girl looked at her baby brother and announced, "I was just about to get to him." Which is sort of my way of getting to the topic of today's message. Have you gotten around to worshiping the Lord lately? For some people, worshiping God comes almost naturally. Not so long ago, some children at a Christian grade school were asked to complete the following sentence. I like to worship God because He is. Martha said she liked to worship God because He is loving. He loved people in the Bible, and He loved me when I don't love my little brother for making me mad when he repeats everything I say. Jonathan, he liked to worship God because God is caringful. He cares for the little birds, and he cared enough to give Daddy a job. These children worship God because they have not yet become immune to His hand in their lives. They have grateful hearts. That's why I'm not especially worried about these children, not yet anyway. Nor am I worried about those many faithful friends of the Lutheran Hour who are tuning in as they are having their first cup of coffee before they get ready for worship, or those who are listening as they drive to church. I'm not thinking of the many ministers for whom this brief sermon is God's way of feeding them with the Word. Today, I'm most concerned with those who must give an honest no to the question, have you gotten around to worshiping the Lord lately? Look, I know probably 100 other people have harassed and hassled you, have pestered and plagued you, they have nagged you and threatened you. Some have even told you, I'm praying for you. And although you responded in many ways to their invitation, it all boiled down to, I don't wanna, do I have to? Well, I'm not going to do that to you today. It's not my job to bully or bluster, to cajole or coax, to push or prod, to heave and haul a resisting and resentful soul into a church service where Jesus Christ is being worshipped. Now, having heard that promise, won't you sit back and listen? You know, originally nobody had to tell people they had to worship God. After the Lord had made humankind and placed our original ancestors in the Garden of Eden, God talked to them, and He walked with them. He gave them instructions, and they thought it perfectly normal to do what He asked. There wasn't any reason not to. But then sin came, and everything, especially us, changed. No longer was it natural and normal for people to worship the Lord. Just about the very first thing that Adam and Eve did was try to hide themselves from God. It was a silly thing to do, but they tried, and thereby set the precedent by which most of humanity lives and dies. Like I said, with sin, everything changed. The worship of God, which had once been joyful, now became a job. The opportunity became an obligation. The closeness had become a chasm. Sure, people worshiped, but things got pretty strange. One brother, Cain, ended up killing his brother Abel over worship. Other people soon got involved with other things, completely forgot about God, and only thought about how they might do evil in a bigger and better way than anyone had before. That's the main reason the Lord decided to start over, not from scratch, but pretty close to it. A flood was sent. 8 people, faithful people, survived. And what was the first thing these faithful did after the danger was over? They worshiped God. I would think so. God had spared them, and now they had some major work to do, what with having to rebuild and repopulate. They did good. For a while, a very short while. Then humanity got on its high horse and said, I don't want to worship God. Do I have to? Well, God had heard all of that before, so finally he said, yes, you gotta. Yes, you have to. Now, this was God, so he said it much nicer than that. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It became a commandment. Now, understand, God didn't say people had to worship him 24/7. He was simply saying, look, what I want is this. 6 days of the week I want you to work. I want you to strive. I want you to have a great life. I want you to fall in love and have a spouse and a family. I want you to listen to a baby's laugh and watch her first steps. I want you to smell fresh baked bread and talk to a good friend for hours and see the leaves turn colors in the fall. I want you to eat and drink and enjoy. I want you to stop and stand in awe of my sunrises and sunsets. When it rains, take a glance upward at that rainbow I put in the heavens. And then on the 7th day, I want you to think about how everything you have, everything you are, everything you will be in this world and the next comes from my loving hand. And then, say a thank you. On the 7th day of the week, rest and worship me. Now, the Lord would have loved, even asked people to think about his gifts every day, to thank him every day, to worship him every day, from morning until night, no matter what they were doing or where they were. That's what God wanted. But he demanded they rest on the 7th day of the week. Sometimes people did remember the Lord's handiwork in their lives. At such times, they worshiped God, did so gladly. There was worship when he delivered his people out of slavery. There was worship when they entered the land he had promised them. There was worship when a temple was built to help them remember who God was and what he was doing. There was worship when God conquered their enemies. Yes, sometimes there was worship. But most of the time there wasn't. Most of the time people said, I don't wanna, do I have to? Or if they did worship, it was dead worship. People performed the perfunctory rituals and rites. They had their obligatory ceremonies, services, and sacrifices. That's the way things might have continued if Jesus had not appeared upon the scene. Evaluating those who practiced dead worship, he warned, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus wanted the world to know that if you're going to worship the Lord, it had to be done in spirit and in truth. He rocked the religious establishment by telling them that the day of rest was made for man, not the other way around. Then, having made these pronouncements, Jesus promptly proceeded to give the world something it could neither ignore or forget. We might forget to give thanks for sunrises and the loving touch of a friend, but nobody could forget to give thanks for Jesus. Why? Jesus gave sinful souls salvation. Since the fall into sin, things hadn't been right. All of humanity had been born sinful, and because of that sin was condemned. But Jesus, the suffering Savior, set about to make things right. As the sinless Son of God, He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Leaving His holy home in heaven, He was born one of us. All the laws of God that we naturally and unnaturally break, He kept perfectly, purely, completely. For 33 years of His life, there was not an oops or a goof, and that's just the beginning. All of the temptations that we fall for, He avoided. Not a stumble or a misstep. When we would have listened to the devil, Jesus turned a deaf ear. All of the sins that we carry around, all of the despicable, devious, damnable things that we cannot shake, all of these, Jesus took to Himself. The things we have said to hurt, our heart's motives that were horrible and hideous, these He made His own. The greed, the envy, the cruelty, the lust, the hatred that are part of all of us, even the best of us, these things Jesus carried. Right now, do not think of this as a radio broadcast being beamed out over the world. Think of this as a private talk between you and me. Jesus carried your sins. He loved you that much. How long did He carry them? Long enough to get rid of them. Long enough for Him to be nailed to a cross. On a cross, He died for you. Hold that picture in your mind's eye. See God's Son suffering, dying for you. The whip marks on His back, you can't see them so clearly as He hangs upon the cross. They were received for you. The crown of thorns, for you and me too. Jesus died for you. And when Jesus died, so did your sins. Jesus did for you what nobody else could. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose for you. That's important too. Because Jesus rose, we know that He was successful in His work. Because Jesus rose. And don't think that's all made up for hundreds of people that many different places and times saw Him alive. You know that if you believe on Him as your Savior, you too can be part of God's family. You can be saved. You can have eternal life. If what I've said is true, and it is the truest thing that ever was said, what is your reaction? How do you feel? What is your response to this unmerited love of God? Martin Luther responded by saying, "For all of which it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey Him." But modern men and women seldom stop to give thanks for God's gracious gifts. We have so much. We assume we deserve it. We don't want to admit we need a Savior or a supplier. Even among those who have seen Jesus, whose names are listed on the roll of a Christian church on almost any given Sunday morning, more than half of them forget to worship the Savior who did so very much for them. Which takes me back to my question. Do you remember it? Have you gotten around to worshiping the Lord lately? Now, I told you I wasn't going to get all preachy or shouty at you. I'm not. I just want to know. What's the reason? Can we talk about it? Is it possible you don't worship because you think God doesn't care about you? Or that your sins are too great for Jesus to take away? Or on the other side of that coin, that you haven't got any sins that need taking care of? Do you not worship because no one has ever invited you? Or that you think worship is only for the rich or the poor? Do you not worship the Lord because you don't know what to do, how to begin, how to take that first step? If you fit any of these categories, and there are many of you who do, let me say this. You are exactly the kind of people the church is looking for. I know that because I know that's the kind of people the Savior died for. He came to seek and save the lost, the folks who were burdened, who were hurting, who were alone and lost. Even as I am confident that Jesus wants you and your worship, I am equally confident that the organization of which I am proud to be a part, Luthernauer Ministries, wants to help you make a connection with the church. Please give us a call and we will do our very best to bring you together with others who were also alone, but who now have each other as well as a Savior and a Lord. Have you gotten around to worshiping the Savior lately? No? Let me guess. Is it because you think worship is between you and God and nobody else? After all, you know what you believe, and that's all that counts, isn't it? Well, no, it isn't. Those who worship and love the Savior were never meant, nor are capable of practicing their faith in a permanent vacuum. Bible translators have told me that Africa's Maasai's, when they wish to say, "I thank you," say words that literally translate, "My head is in the dirt." They say it because when a Maasai says thanks, he will bow down and put his forehead on the ground. They want to show their thankfulness is mixed with humility. Members of another African tribe express their gratitude by saying, "I sit on the ground before you." When one of them wants to express appreciation to someone else, he sits in front of that person's hut. He will sit there for a while. The longer he sits, the more people know of this heart's gratitude. I believe you when you say, "I know what I believe." But I also believe the Bible when it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of judgment approaching." Have you gotten around to worshiping the Savior lately? No? Is it because you don't like the church, the pastor, the music, the organ, some person? Is it because of a squabble, or... I won't go on. This one's difficult. There is no one answer that fits everyone, so let me say this. If you aren't worshiping the Lord because of something you have done wrong, because of a guilty conscience, get down on your knees and confess your sins to God. Then, knowing that you have His forgiveness, go to your brother, your pastor, your church, and do what is necessary to bring them peace too. Don't let pride drive a wedge between you and your Savior, your brothers and sisters. If you aren't worshiping the Lord because of a sin someone has done against you, get over it. Just as a sinner's job is to repent, a forgiven Christian's job is to forgive others. They may never come around. You should. Jesus said so. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So forgive. And let's get back to worship. And suppose you haven't been worshiping because of a matter of taste. Please, find a church that preaches God's truth from the Word, that administers God's mysteries according to divine command. Then when you've done that, move. You have a great amount of choices. There are churches that have children all over the place, and others that are quiet as well as a church. You can find churches with more expenses than money, and other churches who don't spend hardly anything. There are churches that are growing so fast you can't possibly know everybody's name, and others where yours would be the first new name in years. You will find some churches that are always planning for the future and others whose strength is in the past, but find a church where you can worship the Savior who gave His life for you. Now, I know that I said I wouldn't yell, and I won't. It wouldn't help. We're all busy. We have to make choices. Many of those choices are very hard, but maybe this might help. We've been talking about worship. Did you know that the word worship is a shortened form of an older word, worship? If something is very valuable to you, it is high on your list of priorities, then it has worship. And that something is worthy of your worship. Now, I can't tell you what to do. It's not my job. My job is to tell people that the Lord sent His Son to live, die, and rise for them. My job is to let the world know that anyone who has that Savior has everlasting life. My job is to help people see the Savior suffering, bleeding, dying for them, their children, their friends. I won't yell about it. It wouldn't do any good. But I would say that any sight which brings me from hell to heaven, any Savior who died that I might live, is worthy of worship. Amen. Oh, one last thing. You faithful worshipers, I'm sorry for neglecting you, but this needed to be said, didn't it? Many of those for whom it was intended may not have been listening. That's why I'm extending an invitation to you. Call Lutheran Hour Ministries and order a tape, or go to our webpage, lhm.org, and download the manuscript and get it to them. For years, the Lutheran Hour has been bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Today, as partners together as tools of the Holy Spirit, let's bring Him to someone you know, and then bring that someone to the church. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.